Dr. Scott Hahn once quoted saying, there's a famous homily of St. Augustine in which he refers to the fathers in his audience as my fellow bishops. He startles his congregation, which certainly included many busy fathers of families, by telling them to be faithful to the duties of the priesthood. Fulfill my office in your own homes, he says. The word bishop means supervisor, and since a man is called bishop because he supervises and takes care of others, every man holds the office of the bishop, supervising the way his people believe, and seeing that none of them fall into heresy, not his wife or son or daughter or even his servant. End of quote. Bishop Olmsted supervises our whole diocese, supervising all Catholic families to follow the teaching of our Holy Mother Church. He just recently released on families entitled Complete My Joy, referencing St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Please read it. It's available online on our diocesan website. As parents, we all have responsibilities to pass on our faith to our children and grandchildren. Prophets are messengers of God. By our baptism, we share in the triple mission of Christ as priest, prophet, and king. Our readings today invites us to reflect on our mission, on our responsibilities as prophet, sharing in the prophet, the king of prophets. Jeremiah in our first reading was formed, known, dedicated, and appointed by God as a prophet even from his mother's womb. Four powerful verbs, formed, known. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you or consecrated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you or ordained you in another translation. God has a plan for each one of us, for each person conceived in his or her mother's womb. You may ask your children what they want to become when they become an adult. They may have plans or dreams which are important, but what is more important is to help them know that God has a plan for each one of them. He has a plan for their life. God has a plan to call us to a particular vocation in life that will be our particular way to holiness or to sanctity. As Jeremiah also said in chapter 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. It is for evil to prosper in our society. We have allowed the evil of abortion or killing of a child in the womb to be legal. Legal does not mean it is right. Mother Teresa once said, any country that accepts abortion is not teaching his people to love, but to use violence to get what they want. That is why the greatest destroyer of love and peace is abortion. We have also allowed divorce to be legal when in fact, in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, I hate divorce, says the Lord. And now a new law in New York will allow murder of the baby right up to birth, and one proposed in Virginia may be interpreted to even allow the baby to die after it is born, if the doctor and mother so choose. Good, it was not passed yet, but they will try again. We may be silent again about this violence of God's vision of the dignity of human life, because it does not pertain to us, because we are fully grown humans. But this ideology, this evil, won't stop there. As with happening with other countries in Europe, it will expand to killing all who are burdened to their family or useless to the society. It will be legal to kill someone when they get sick or handicapped or just because they are weak from AIDS. When a nation disregards God as the center of its life, everything becomes okay. As the saying goes, all hell breaks loose. When we stop worshiping God, we will worship anything. We will worship pleasure, power, prestige, wealth, health, animals, and ourselves. Everything we will worship except God. When there is no God, there is no order. Without God, chaos reigns. When self-sacrificing love is absent, selfishness reigns. Everyone, the unholy trinity for the selfish people. But we have hope, for even if we are unfaithful, God is faithful in his promises. As he said in Second Letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 13, "But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he will still be faithful, for he cannot deny himself." God won't abandon us. Let us bring God back also as center of our lives. Let us rekindle faith, hope, and love in our lives. Let us proclaim God's love to others, especially those who are deceived by the enemy. You know, those who support abortion, they are thinking they are so doing good. They want to help the woman to be free from burden. But as the principle of ethics said, we cannot justify the means by its ends. So meaning, we cannot justify by thinking doing good for their purpose. So let us love one another, for love we gain nothing, as St. Paul proclaims in our second reading. Let this be the purpose of our life. Let us examine ourselves. What is the purpose of coming to church? Is it out of love or is it out of obligation? What is our purpose of correcting people, especially our children, teaching them what is right and wrong? Is it out of love or just to judge them? We know, as parents, you love your children, and that we have to practice tough love when they are on the way of their own self-destructive habits or practices. So we have to correct them out of love. We have to tell the truth out of love. And love, for St. Thomas, means thinking or willing what is good of the others. And the highest good of the others, of course, is their salvation of their souls. So let us proclaim the truth in love, that life is a gift from God, that he has a plan for each one of us, even in the womb, as we heard in the third verse of our psalm, "From my mother's womb, God is my strength." Let all of us respect and protect the sanctity of life from conception to natural death. deciding who will live and who is not fit to live in this earth. Let us let God decide when He wants to call us back to His heavenly homeland. No to euthanasia or assisted suicide. Let us also respect God's decision by creating us to be man and woman. Let us cooperate with His plan. His plan for us is to experience true freedom, that we experience true freedom and happiness as His children. His plan is for our welfare, not for evil, to give us a future and hope. Jesus Christ is the Anointed One, the Messiah, the fulfillment of all prophecy in the Scriptures. He will show us the truth. He will set all captives free. He will free us from our selfishness and our self-destructive ways, if we allow Him to. Avail ourselves the sacrament of reconciliation. Let us receive Him at Holy Communion and allow Him to reign in our hearts. Let us keep His commandments and remain in His love. There's a difference between God is all love. He loves us unconditionally. And also, God is all mercy. He is merciful, but He needs our cooperation so that we can receive mercy. He needs our repentance so we receive mercy. He is all loving. He will always love us, but He needs our cooperation to receive His mercy. That's why we have our confessional there, to receive His mercy there, and also by our repentance and also reception of Jesus Himself in the Eucharist. When we follow the Lord proclaiming the truth out of love, others may hate and reject us like they treated Jesus and Jeremiah. God will be with us always. As we read in our first reading, Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verse 19. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. May Our Lady of Joy, Queen of Prophets, intercede for us all. Amen.